This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Mentor. I'm Mark Boris. One of the fastest growing industries worldwide now is the cannabis industry. That's right, hooch. Things like medical research, recreation usage, products, oils, edibles, and a whole lot more stuff. Previously on this podcast, I had a Canadian, a guy named Sean Dollinger, who was the CEO of Namastate. Now, that's the world's largest e-commerce platform for cannabis products. And this week, I'm joined by Sarah Cicci. Now, she runs a PR company called SHUK, Shook. Shook Communications. Sarah has been in the PR game for more than a decade and has created this new arm of a business dedicated to telling the stories of cannabis-related businesses. As the laws are very restricted in Australia, most of Sarah's work is with international clients, but she's ready for it. And when those laws change, she's ready to take it on. I want to find out about how she's done it, as well as talk about the PR challenges in the whole cannabis industry and how business owners in this space get their stories out there. So let's get into it. Sarah Cicci, welcome to The Mentor.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I've had you in here before, but not in the capacity as the guest, but as someone accompanying a guest.
On the other side, correct.
So just tell us quickly about who that was and what that was about.
Sure. So my agencies are called Piccolo PR and Shook Communications.
Your old agency. Piccolo PR.
No, Piccolo PR
still
is still
exists,
functioning. Yeah,
okay.
I've got two.
I have two agencies.
Two business names. Shook Communications, I brought in Sean Dollinger from Namaste Technologies, who was here from Canada, who was talking about cannabis and his e-commerce site. And then under Piccolo PR, I had Olivia Carr from the founder and CEO of Shu Silk.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one too. Yeah,
yes.
Silk. I actually follow them on Instagram. They do some good Instagram
Amazing
stuff.
Company. Amazing.
And I actually got, she gave me some pillow slips, some silk pillow slips, and talked to me about linen, and she inspired me to go. I didn't buy from her, but I just went and bought some linen stuff. I don't even know who bought it. My secretary bought it for me, but the linens, I'm not sure whether I like it or not.
How do you feel about the silk?
The silk's okay. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to frizz up or anything. It hasn't improved my skin or anything like that. But
has it improved your sleep? Were you still waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I still wake up. Yeah, that hasn't improved me, but it feels nice on your face.
Good to know. There's so many health benefits, but I can give you the press release at a later stage.
Okay. you're in here on your own behalf today, and what we want to talk about and what you've been doing is you've established a new business or a new brand alongside your other brand, your Piccolo PR, which has established a new brand, which is called Shook, S-H-U-K, or Shook. What the hell does that stand for us?
Shook Communications. So that's Hebrew for marketplace.
Is it?
It is. And so that to me, it means togetherness.
Yeah, yeah.
And
like a Shook.
Shook.
Well, yeah, you call them Hebrew might be Shook, but in I know in Oman and places like that, they're called the Souk.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably a similar sort of derivation.
Yeah, sure. And there's also a really nice link between Israel, global leaders in terms of science and research for the cannabis industry, which is sponsored by the government, and also one of the best cultivators of cannabis due to their humidity and climate.
Oh, wow. So,
and also time to shake things up. So it's a really nice play on words.
Shook, shake. Yeah, I get that. So so I understand why the name, but tell me why this space?
Well, this space, cannabis is set to become a worldwide commodity, and I've launched Shook Communications.
Why do you say that? I don't understand. So let's just assume I want you to assume I know nothing about it, okay?
Okay.
So if you it's a big statement. Cannabis is about, and you know, you're in the PR game. It's about to become a worldwide commodity. Commodity is an interesting thing, an interesting word to use. Basically, that just means it's going to be commoditized, and which means it's going to be like olive oil or, you know, cow's milk or something like that.
Easily accessible. Well, if you have a look at legalization is gaining momentum. Last year, we had it legalized in Canada on 30th of October, then legalized in Israel from a medicinal point of view, UK medicinal point of view, Australia was legalized from a medicinal point of view.
Parts of the US.
Eight states of US and Washington, D.C. So I think it's only a matter of, it's not a matter of if, but when it will be legalized in Australia. Australia are in close conversation with Canadian governments about the risks and the benefits associated with legalization. And so we're ready. We're ready for it to become.
Okay, talk to me about it, though. I mean, let's just pick a country. I mean, one you know about. I don't know whether it's Canada or Israel.
Canada.
Pick Canada. Yes. Why do they decide to legalize cannabis and all the products of cannabis?
Good question. And look, I'm not part of government regulation, so I don't have the micro and the granular detail in regards to their policies. It happened rapidly, and no one was expecting that legalization. I think from an economic point of view, it stimulated growth in terms of innovation, conversation around innovation. It brought together entrepreneurs, scientists, thought leaders, researchers, and created that economic stimulus. And not only from CBD point of view, but from a THC point of view as well.
Let's talk about, we'll come back to CBD and THC in a minute.
Yes.
But what you're suggesting, though, to me is that there was some economic policy or national growth policy or nation building policy or at least national interests of Canadians that cannabis and all the products of it be legalized. Is it legalized for any use or is it just for medicinal?
No, medicinal and recreational, but otherwise known as adult use now.
So you smoke as much as you like?
I wouldn't suggest it.
No, but you can. Is that?
You can. Yeah, absolutely. But now it's not necessarily called recreational use. It's called adult use because it's a more benign terminology, which is breaking the stigma in the 1970s, you know, Nixon in the 1970s.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a huge shift from the way that we're looking at cannabis, and North America is definitely setting the benchmark for responsibility.
It's mad because, you know, like Canada's a fairly conservative country, you know, in relation to politics. You know, if you had said to me like it's Holland or, you know, Sweden or something like that, I would have gone, oh, yeah, got it, because they traditionally sort of do that sort of stuff. You know, because in those countries a lot of drugs are legalized. But for Canada, it's a big country. It's as broad. It's naturally conservative as a country. For them just to pop up and say, "Yeah, it's all now legalized, both at a recreational level or an adult's level, and at a medicinal level,"
and they've really done it responsibly, I feel, you know, from what we're looking at the stats now and from how we're looking at consumer engagement of the product. And, you know, they legalize it from a federal perspective. With legalization comes restrictions. So in terms of advertising and PR, there's a lot of restrictions about what we can and we can't do. They've restricted the amount of cannabis that can be sold in shops, 18 or 19-year-old.
Like cigarettes.
Correct, exactly. So we can only have plain packaging, similar to the tobacco laws here, where, you know, you have to be 18 or 19 years of age, depending on the province, to be able to purchase cannabis. So there are still a lot of regulations in place.
This is sort of like have a photo on the front of, you know, you off your brain, you off your head or something. The cigarette sort of ads.
I don't know if that would be great advertising or PR.
Well, it's not about advertising. It's about the warning. I think that's probably my point, because like if you're smoking cigarettes, they have photographs of people with mouth cancer, lung cancer, and all that sort of scary sort of shit on the front of the packet.
And when THC is infused into a product, they do have safety and warning.
They do.
Labels.
Yeah. So they have some guy's head spinning or something like that. Like they must have some sort of graphic that sort of is meant to make the worst warning, to make the warning as bad as possible, I presume. Or maybe someone gets really fat because they start eating a whole lot of stuff. You know, they get the munchies.
Depending on what strain they have, correct?
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
So Canada is sort of being held up there as the poster boy or the poster girl for legalization of cannabis. It seems to me.
Correct.
Is that right? Would that be right?
Absolutely.
Is that globally the way it is? Are other countries like New Zealand, are we all looking to Canada as the model?
Well, they're setting the benchmark for responsibility. Yeah, absolutely. The world is, they're under the microscope. And so in terms of what they're doing from a legalised perspective, everyone's watching for their failure. Everyone's looking at their success. In terms of Australia, what we're doing is really leading with science and research, because there's been a medical blackout in terms of research for the last 50 years. So we're trying to play
catch up. Go to Byron Bay. You need to get some research done there. or Newcastle.
So what we're doing is just getting local case studies to be able to prove or encourage the government to legalise it. And I think that this is, a few years off, personally.
So why did you decide to establish Shook to become a PR brand around, and I presume we're talking about Australia, but a PR brand around cannabis and cannabis maybe legalisation? I don't know. Is it more a political position for you, or are you taking... Or is you being purely commercial, because there's a whole lot of people going to need your help soon?
Commercial, personal, and also opportunistic. So, we're helping brands now navigate through the green mist and change perceptions related to the cannabis industry. So it's really natural and normal to have a narrow focus when it comes to cannabis and not think beyond distribution and cultivation. But it's an exciting place for PRs to play and for me to be able to lean into, because we're dealing with entrepreneurs, thought leaders, scientists, medical fraternity, who are all coming together to stimulate conversation and innovation. And that's a really exciting place to play.
It's also controversial too. So I guess that requires both crisis management, if there's someone having a crack as a client, but also requires you to promote the business in order to get the name known.
That's exactly right. And cannabis is controversial, and it will, especially for purists, but our job is to create communications campaigns centered around education, advocacy, authenticity, accountability, and make responsibility exciting.
Right. Responsibility exciting? I never get excited about being responsible for
anything.
I know. I mean, how do you do that?
Well, when we have a look at the restrictions in play, for example, Canada, we are unable to have Facebook, due to their regulations. We're unable to promote through digital B2B, digital direct marketing, SEO. So it's a matter of getting really creative when it comes to designing campaigns. And one of the events that we had last year was with Snoop Dogg. And, an incredible person to place as a brand alignment. He's known in the cannabis space. He's well regarded in the cannabis space. He's a cannabis enthusiast, and he's also got a global cannabis and lifestyle platform called Mary Jane. So that event
A global cannabis lifestyle platform?
Yeah, he's a global leader in terms of cannabis and lifestyle website or platform, e-commerce platform.
So what does that platform do?
It sells anything within the cannabis industry, or a lot of things within the cannabis
So that's his. That's Snoop Dogg's.
Correct.
Is he like a face of it, or is he like...
He's the face of it.
Yeah, but someone else is running it, so to
speak.
Or they brought him in as a percentage.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine him developing the content, but he's definitely the face behind it and the brain behind it. And he's creating content. He's creating a community of like-minded cannabis enthusiasts who, look at him as being a global leader in this space. So we assigned him to entertain and perform at one of our events, a shareholder event, and overnight...
Now, tell me, who we being...
Namaste Technologies.
Namaste, right, yep.
So it was called the Pledge Party.
Yep.
And the Pledge Party was designed to encourage shareholders not to sell their shares for a 90-day period through turbulent times. And in response to that, we celebrated that with a party at the end of it, where we invited 1,000 investors, shareholders, media to this party and had Snoop Dogg as a performing act. And what this did was overnight we had shares went up, international headlines from a media perspective, and also an emotional connection from the audience to the shares, which is a unique position to be. So that's an exciting campaign to be part of.
Yeah, totally. So you're involved in that campaign?
Yes, I was.
For Namaste. I mean, the Namaste guys, the guy was quite fascinating to me. I mean, we're getting a lot of people talking about cannabis and all the byproducts of cannabis in Australia. I mean, Pete Evans is a big
advocate for it.
He's pushing it like hard, really hard. But it's also creating a great deal of controversy around him. How often do you think people, you're in the PR game, how often do you think people actually pick topics and associate themselves with in order to build awareness campaigns for themselves?
Great question.
I always ask great questions.
You really do, don't you? I don't think a business is sustainable if you don't have passion behind it and you don't have personal engagement behind it. So Pete Evans, I think, has a personal connection towards cannabis. He's creating a documentary which is uniting people together to stimulate conversation in an industry that people don't want to talk about. And they don't want to talk about it, or it's controversial, because they're actually not educated about what cannabis does. You know, cannabis has been known to alleviate pain and discomfort amongst...
I want to come back to that if you don't mind, because I mean, I think it's really important to do that. I want to do that after the break in the second half. But in the first half, I just want to get a sense of why you're involved, why all these other people involved. I mean, is it, you said opportunistic. I mean, is this bandwagon stuff and we all being opportunistic to get involved in something? I mean, by the way, we all do it in all sorts of industries. I mean, to some extent, I'm doing it, being opportunistic with the mentor show, because small business owners, they need help. And
it's also an entrepreneurial movement.
And it is, well, I'm trying to create a strategy, movement.
Yeah.
And definitely people who smoke hooch, they'd like to be involved in a movement. And they've been involved in an underground movement for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And it's been around for a long time. It's just that they haven't really had anything to connect themselves with in a public environment. So I want to just sort of jump on that word opportunistic. And there's nothing wrong with it in commerce, especially in business. And you're in the sort of the heart of it as a public relations person, because you just said to me the way you advertise cannabis and its byproducts probably isn't going to be through the current traditional social mediums, because it's probably being banned or something like that.
Right.
Because it's too powerful. Those mediums are too powerful. Therefore, in Canada, they're not allowed. So because I guess you can't control the age of people who look at things and what time they look at things and what the content is, et cetera. It's just too hard to regulate.
And also children as well. We want to keep it away from children.
Yeah. So you can't – therefore Facebook, et cetera, social, is sort of not – let's not call it banned, but prohibited.
For the moment.
Because it's just too hard to control those environments, because that's what makes those environments good, because they're uncontrollable. They're unregulated, so to speak. So therefore – and you probably can't do, you know, TV advertising in this area is probably going to be quite expensive anyway. So really what it says to me is it's about influencers and newspaper articles and radio campaigns and television articles and the news and events,
exactly,
which is where you come
right.
in.
Exactly.
So
right.
What you've identified is there's a marketplace for you to use your professional skills outside of what you do in your other brand, your day-to-day sort of business. There is a specialty area where you can see yourself specialising and where you see demand for your skills.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a PR, it's a great opportunity to be able to celebrate science and elevate innovation and technology.
That's interesting that you're now taking cannabis into science. We'll talk about that in a second. But I just want to just think about you for a second. So... and there's nothing wrong with what's in it for me type story, you know, and because I want our listeners to know there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, Sarah's identified a market, a growing market, a rising tide. She thinks she's got the skills to attach to that rising tide, and she's promoting herself into that environment, which is one of the reasons she's here today, she'll only survive if she's good at it and she's willing to back herself to be good at it. And you've had some experience, particularly with the Namaste guys. And, you know,
others as well.
Others as well. So is that why Sarah is doing this stuff? Is it because when do you actually say, you know, Mark, that's how I started it. I don't want to put ideas in here, but then I became a convert and I believe in it. I mean, where do those two cross over?
Another great question. I was given an opportunity to be able to take on a particular client. And initially I said no. And that was the mean girl in my head. That was the conversations that I was having with myself. I didn't want to compromise Piccolo PR, which is anchored within homewares, kids and e-commerce. I thought, oh, I can't represent kids and cannabis. And a particular client gave me 5 days. Up until the fourth day, I said, no. And then the fourth night, I had a sleepless night and I did a complete switch and I backed myself and I said, yes, I'm committing to
this. You said basically, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
I'm doing it. Yeah. I told everyone I wasn't doing it. I'm not doing it. I told him I'm not doing it. We've got 5 days. On the fourth night, I said, I'm doing this. If I have an opportunity that comes to me and I don't take it, I would rather live with failure than regret. Mm-hmm. So in that moment in time, on the fifth day, we signed the contract, and after 5:30, I went to the Double Bay Library every night for 6 months until 10 o'clock at night with, you know, HSC kids learning about the cannabis industry, on the weekends learning about the cannabis industry, calling in newspapers, calling in magazines from the States, from Canada, getting to know the journalists and learning from the ground up, just getting on the tools and really deep diving into the industry. That's where it started. The deeper I went into it, the more education, the more people that I was exposed to, going to United in Compassion with Pete Evans for that conference and seeing the people that come together and talk about it and cry about the fact that CBD has alleviated their comfort, their pain, their discomfort and pain, brought another piece of energy to my work. So I started off with opportunity and now I'm a convert.
So you believe in it.
I absolutely believe in it. I also...
Do you use it?
Yes, I do. Yeah. CBD, I do.
Yeah. Is that legal here?
Under medical prescription.
So if a doctor prescribes CBD...
Correct.
So you better explain what CBD is. For those people who did not listen to the Namaste podcast, shame on you. What is
it? Yes. So CBD. CBD is a therapeutic benefits associated with cannabis. So you've got CBD and THC, which is responsible for the psychoactive ingredient. Responsible for getting you high.
Yeah.
CBD controls sleep, controls temperament, controls temperature, muscle relaxant, alleviates pain and discomfort, helps you sleep. And that was a big... game changer for me. So I was offered CBD to trial. I've been suffering from a hyperactive thyroid for most of my life and relied on synthetic drugs, which, you know, it's...
As in Graves' disease? What's that disease?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the extreme nature of, right. If I don't treat it with tablets. Had CBD and I automatically felt at peace, calm, had the most amazing sleep, amazing dreams, and it was what I was missing for the last 10 years. So having first case experience of CBD and speaking to these people who are, you know, cancer patients and, people with epilepsy and HIV who have also been exposed to it, it forms a community. It forms a like-minded community of people who come together and talk about strains. And there's 500 compounds in...
Okay, we're going to talk about that because what you're now doing, and I want to break this up because I don't want this to sound like this is just a big ad for CBD. And CBD, I think CBD stands for cannabinoids.
Cannabinoid.
Something like that, which is sort of a derivative of cannabis.
Yes.
With the THC taken out.
Correct.
With, in other words, the thing gives you the high taken out. And there is now lots of products around this, and the products which your clients are producing is the end game. That's the CBD oils. I guess there's tablets. There's probably something you can smoke. I don't know.
There's wine.
There's wine. Okay. There's a whole lot of stuff.
There's
and these have a whole lot of benefits, which we're going to talk about on. But I just want to talk about you. Come back to you again.
Yes.
You're now saying that there was a period, as a result of you signing this contract after 4 days of torment and on the fifth day making that decision, and after 6 months of research, 6 months of work.
And it keeps on going. I'm still at the library.
Okay, so you go to the library and you try to understand this thing, because this is not just about, it should be legalized because all my friends smoke it. This is, why is it to be legalized? In order for you to be properly representing someone, you've got to know this stuff like the back of your hand. And What I was keen to find out is at what point you've become a believer in the whole product, because it's very hard to promote something or to prosecute something unless you believe in it.
Yeah, and I can't do that. I can't put my name to something that I don't believe in.
And to believe in, you've got to try it.
Yes.
You can't just talk about what you read. You've got to actually try the bloody stuff.
Absolutely.
And I'd say you're young enough and old enough to maybe have had it tried at some stage in your life.
1999.
Yeah.
Schoolies.
Okay,
thanks
schoolies.
For that.
There you go.
And not since.
Are the Gold Coast or Byron Bay?
Byron Bay.
Byron Bay, there we go.
Byron Bay.
You were probably one of the kids at the time I was yelling at to shut the fuck up because I couldn't get to sleep in my farm or something, you know, because you guys get up
and
there.
And never again. But now I've changed the way that I consume it. So now it's via oil as opposed to smoking. And, you know, having a look at the stats from overseas, smoking's on the decline.
Right.
People are doing the responsible way of CBDs and tinctures and oils and, you know.
That's interesting. That's very interesting that it's not one's on the decline, one's on the increase. That's very interesting. It sounds like people are being much more responsible and not doing it for the high. They're doing it for the medical benefits. As usual, we want to highlight a business that we have for sale on mentor.business, a business that we have for sale. And I've got Matt Holland in here today to tell me about what business we're going to showcase this week. What is it, mate?
Thanks, Mark. A bit hush-hush this week. A vendor with a yoga business, something that you're quite passionate about, I know, Mark. So roll up your alley.
Yeah, well, I guess if it's yoga, it's got to be hush-hush, mate. If we don't go yelling and screaming about yoga, sort of somewhat against their... you know, how they operate yoga. I mean, yoga likes to be nice and quiet. I mean, where's the yoga business? Is it in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane? Where are we talking
about? Look, it's Sydney, kind of east-ish suburbs. You know, as I said, it's very quiet. But look, it's just under $1 million turnover. It's
wow.
A great business. That
it's a subscription business, so people pay by subscription, yeah.
Absolutely. And I looked at this about a year ago, and I was, you know, and the vendor wasn't quite ready to do anything then. But, yeah, it's literally, I've seen the numbers. He's almost doubled in the last 12, 18 months.
So it's a he. There's a hint.
Oh, yes.
So it's a he, and maybe east of the city, but at least somewhere around the city and east thereof. And is it just one office or one branch, or has we got a number of branches?
No, it is the one. And look, I think it's a great bolt-on for somebody or even somebody looking to get into the industry that's trying to build up their own studio.
So there's $1 million to buy, $1 million turnover.
Turnover.
$1 million turnover. So what's a business like that sort of sell for, rent about?
We were looking for offers around that kind of $500,000 plus.
$500,000.
So, yeah.
And we're obviously got someone who's made a decision to sell. He's probably moving up to Byron Bay or someone that is going to set up a new one. And I guess with these sorts of things too, the purchaser is always going to seek, you know, restraints of trade so that the vendor doesn't sort of open up next door. You're going to check out things like the length of the lease that the vendor's got and make sure that the premises are properly secured, assuming the premises are important at least. That there's a good client list and the client list actually exists. There's a lot of due diligence to do in these situations, and no doubt Matt Holland and his team will help you through this due diligence process. So if you're interested in buying a yoga business in Sydney and you heard the prices and the values, come to us at mentor.business, look up Matt Holland, hang out with him, he'll help you out. And if you've got something you want to sell, also give us a yell. Matt would love to list it for you and get it sold. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Mark.
We are back from the break, and I'm talking to Sarah in relation to her PR business called Shook. It's a hard word for me to say, actually. Shook. Okay. And we effectively what the business that she's in is in the business of making sure that the public relations and or the messaging around the cannabis industry, I guess in particular in Australia, is well received and put out there in a balanced way. And in order to get there, Sarah's had to go through some, some ethical conversations with yourself.
Correct.
What do you think the ethics are? What are the ethics?
Well, look, prior to me, you know, committing to the cannabis industry, I was completely ignorant. So my understanding was, again, the 1970s Nixon stigma, the person smoking the bong, you know, the weed, me in Byron Bay in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had, the smell of it. I still get nauseous over the smell of cannabis. That was my understanding. And since then, it's completely evolved, matured, and shifted to review the medicinal benefits associated with CBD.
But what is the ethic of it? I mean, tell me now, like, is there an ethical issue, or is it just a myth? Because, I mean, like, at one stage in our lives, someone told us that there is a sugar's okay for us, and we had sugar for a long time, and all of a sudden someone said, no, but we made a mistake, it's shit for us, it's no good for us. One stage there, people told us, certain breakfast cereals which are coated in sugar were good for us, so advertised as being good for us, as having vitamin B and various things associated with them, and then we're now getting told we shouldn't be having those things. What are the ethics of prosecuting the benefits of cannabis? Is it properly researched? What do you think?
Well, that's a really good question. So in terms of local case studies, we can only go on...
You're talking about Australia now?
Correct, yeah. So we only have anecdotal evidence to suggest that it's a muscle relaxant. It helps with nauseousness. It helps with PMT, PMD. DST,
post-traumatic.
Thank you.
Disorder.
Decreased acute pain. So anecdotally, we have that. There's been a medical blackout in terms of research. And so now Australian governments are really pioneering research and science development to find local case studies. Israel have been, as I said before, global leaders in terms of research and development. And they've had government who have supported.
Why is that? Well, I mean, do you know what I mean? Israel, by the way, is at the forefront of a whole lot of technological breakthroughs, and a lot of it's government sponsored. And actually, the government give them the money, and if they get a return. If they don't, they don't. They just write it down because it's a pretty smart system. And most of this stuff gets transported all around the world. Whatever gets discovered in Israel, it gets moved all around the world for some reason, just generally speaking, because it's good initiative. But what do you think it is that Israel is doing? Why do you think Israel is doing this? Have you had any conversations with people in Israel about this?
I think, in my own understanding, reading is just due to the economic stimulus. So their humidity and their climate levels makes them leaders in terms of cultivation.
Maybe they're taking the view, well, fuck it, people are going to smoke this stuff anyway, and someone else is going to produce it if we don't produce it. It's no worse for you, or has a similar sort of effect to alcohol, and alcohols and tobacco, which is probably a lot worse, is available. So,
and they're riding just the green wave, potentially. So, I mean, I can't speak on their behalf. I can only suggest that.
But it makes sense to me. I'm only asking you what you think the ethical argument is, because I don't think there is one. I think it's all bullshit. I
mean, oh, do you? Yeah.
I think it's a bullshit argument that you can't do it.
So, have you tried CBD with your sleeping?
No, I don't. But for me, I don't want to take anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right.
I mean, okay. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't want to do any of that sort of stuff. And if I fucking wake up, I wake up. I don't care. And I'll fall back to sleep if I'm really tired. If I'm not tired, I'll get up and do some stuff. I don't really care because I don't sit around fretting about things like that. I don't think, oh, shit, I haven't enough sleep. It's really bad. I need to take something.
Absolutely.
I don't do that.
And nor do I. However, what I can say is when I'm in a conference room and people are coming together and they've got serious ailments and serious discomfort and they're coming together and it's helping them, who am I to say that we shouldn't provide?
Oh, totally. I agree.
Healthcare, because the stance is consistent with the tenets of corporate responsibility, of responsible science, of economic vision. And so if all those three come together, then we've got equilibrium in terms of commercial equilibrium in providing patients with healthcare and also having the economic vision or an economic stimulus.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'd like to perhaps debate the economic issue. There may be economics in it, but I don't think it's going to turn the needle in Australia in terms of our gross domestic product. We're $1.67 trillion, and I don't think... cannabis is going to change that needle, nor do I think it's going to change that employment number in Australia, but at an economic level. But it's always good to have something extra going on where people can earn money. I get that bit.
Yeah.
But in terms of, as I said earlier, whilst I don't care to try it or take it, I do accept, that's just me, I do accept that there are people, I'm lucky, I don't have all these ailments, I don't have massive pain, or at least the pain that I consider to be massive. I don't have something that's hard to bear. And there are a lot of people who do have that, and I do agree that those people should be entitled to have the best known relief treatment that's possible
available to them.
And now, why? But is it cannabis? I mean, there's lots of other things. There's Valium for muscle relaxants. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
this, the cannabis flower has 500. And again, I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I'm going off what I've been exposed to.
Well, but tell our listeners what you've read, though.
Yeah, the flower has 500 different compounds, and every day they're finding new medical applications for alleviation of pain and discomfort.
So is it mostly about pain and discomfort? Like it doesn't cure cancer, it doesn't cure anything such, other than it helps you manage your way through it.
Alleviation, exactly.
And helps you sleep, helps you deal with the pain, et cetera.
Calms you down.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about, the CBD component of it.
But we do have other things to do that now. There are other compounds and chemicals that do that right now.
And I guess for the patient, it's what works for them.
Yeah. So it's choice. So it's not, you know, we live in a nanny state in New South Wales here, worse than every other part of Australia.
Yeah.
Is it because for too long, are you saying there has been for too long a veil of secrecy and an undercurrent of black market, et cetera, surrounding cannabis and all its byproducts relative to all those other products that are being produced by the Johnson Johnsons of the world.
Pharmaceutical companies, yeah.
So isn't one way for this to happen quickly is for the Janssens and the J&Js and or the Pfizers or those sorts of types of pharmaceutical organisations around the world to actually take control of this and say, we're going to make it happen?
That's exactly right. So I would like to think that in the future, adjacent companies such as pharmaceutical companies, alcohol companies, beauty companies invest in the cannabis space.
They haven't yet?
In Australia, I'm not sure. Yep. Overseas, they have.
Right.
And leverage the cannabis insight and marketing insight to be able to create a whole new marketplace. What we've seen in Canada is, you know, from a THC perspective, from an alcohol perspective, now you'll be able to purchase wine with no alcohol component but high THC, which gives you the buzz. It doesn't give you a hangover and it's less calories. Now, for me, I would love that. I would love to have a glass of wine and have those benefits.
Yeah, because alcohol is the thing with all the calories in it. The actual alcohol part of the booze.
Exactly. So they're extracting that and infusing THC.
In Canada, you're
saying. In Canada, right. Exactly. And if you have a look at the statistics, entry-level beer and wine sales are plummeting. So
What do you mean?
It is decreasing.
What? How do you mean? Like, sorry, relative to the beer and wine with THC, or just generally?
Before it was legalized.
Right. Okay.
So, of course, alcohol companies are jumping on this to try and get hold of the share market. If you have a look at Aspen, Colorado, in terms of beer sales by revenue in the last 4 years, that's eclipsed cannabis. Sorry, cannabis has eclipsed beer sales.
Right, so cannabis in beer and wine or cannabis just altogether?
Altogether.
Right, that's interesting. Well, I guess people I can imagine people would say, because a lot of people are conscious. I mean, even if I drink a beer, I'm going to drink one of those blonde beers, whatever they're called, because it's got less calories in it. Because I just know that, there's a whole lot of reasons why I don't drink anymore. I used to drink. Some are health related, some are mood related, some are outcome related, because I just usually make my worst decisions when I'm doing things like that. And so I'm better off not doing it. That's sort of my position. But if I do have a glass of beer just to be sociable, I'm going to look for the low calorie one, because I'm going to think, well, I'm not going to drink a glass of beer that's going to be 150 calories. You know, I might have two, because I know what's going to make me do is it's going to make me get hungry anyway. And I'll end up eating a whole lot of shit as well. So the next thing I do, I've got to go run another 10Ks to get rid of it. And it's just not worth the mathematics for me.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel guilty, to be honest with you, but I just think, oh, fuck it. I don't want to run that far tomorrow. I don't want to have to run that extra just to get rid of something I enjoyed for about 5 minutes.
I understand.
It doesn't make sense to me. So it's just a logic process.
And that just brings to life the science behind this. If you can get, a wine, extract the alcohol and infuse it with THC, I mean, there's the best and the brightest innovators who are working on these products so you don't have to go for a run in the morning.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Still have a social experience.
So, okay, so just on that, can you tell me or can you tell the audience the best of the brightest, I mean, in Canada or maybe here in Australia, what are our scientists doing? I mean, what are people doing around this whole cannabis product environment? What are they doing? What are they looking at? What are they trying to search?
Yeah, so they're looking at the 500, from my understanding, they look at the 500 compounds of the flower, extracting that, having a look at the makeup of it, and then creating hybrids. So right now we have the two most prominent strains are Indica and Sativa. So Indica is high CBD and Sativa is high THC. So if we, so they're the two, but there's 498 left that are still to be explored and the hybrids between them to create a whole different, you know, strain for individual users.
So it sounds like we've all of a sudden discovered a new chemical in a flower, or something new out of nature, before which we've never actually really explored because of the social stigma associated with it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Exactly.
And it's no longer a Nimbin has a mortgage over.
And it's so sophisticated, you know, from what I'm reading, from what I'm exposed to, the entrepreneurs and the scientists behind this. It's an innovative boom, you know.
So where is it being proposed to be used? So, for example, you mentioned cancer patients earlier on. Mm. So sort of tell me the sorts of people who it is being, let's call it, trialed on, or people who have accepted or opted to try this stuff out.
Yeah, so range of patients and people who have got ailments and discomfort. So anyone who's suffering from AIDS or HIV, who has epilepsy, anorexia.
Let's say I'm suffering from AIDS or HIV. How does it help me? I mean, like,
well, now you're getting into the scientific.
No, but what does it do for me? Why would I have that? What does it make me sleep and just takes the anxiety away? I mean, is that what we're
doing? And that's another thing. It helps with anxiety and depression as well. It's a relaxant.
Right.
It's a relaxant from my understanding and alleviates that pain.
Right.
Whether that's in, you know, bone pain or fatigue or.
It doesn't sort of kickstart the immune system I mean, it's a muscle relaxant. It's just something that helps me just deal with the drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get it. And is that being tested here in Australia? Like, they're testing it now? I mean, is it someone like the CSIRO looking at it?
That's
exactly
right. Yeah. So CSIRO are very well behind it in terms of localized case studies.
Okay, you were mentioning earlier that Snoop Dogg was doing something. So I wouldn't mind getting a couple of stories out of this. Because, so what was your experience with Snoop Dogg? What was he doing? What did he do for Namaste?
Which bit of the night? Take me through it. I mean, which bit of the brand?
Give me the juicy bits.
He was there to perform. So he was, you know.
For who?
Shareholders, investors and media.
In what?
For the brand Namaste Technologies.
Yep. Which is the world's largest e-commerce platform for cannabis products.
Correct, exactly. So he was there from the middle to the end of the night performing on stage.
Right, and why is he an ambassador? Why would they choose him?
Yeah, so he's connected to the cannabis industry, obviously, a cannabis enthusiast. He's been...
Community.
Yeah.
I mean, does he stand there with a joint in his mouth or how's it
He does, actually.
Yeah, cool.
He lives and breathes his personal brand.
Right.
He wears the leaves. The leaves are on, you know, the back of where he performs. So he was engaged just due to his alignment to the cannabis space and also shows you the lucrative nature of this market. So he was costly.
It was expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He probably took it in kind, which probably makes sense anyway. So, but did it work?
Yes. Absolutely.
But is it because it's all like-minded people? Is that the reason? Is it because it's going to work because they're all converts anyway. They're all users of one fashion or other.
For the purposes of that event, it worked.
So, like, is he gonna convert Hugh over here, our producer? Is he gonna convert Hugh? Is it because you want Snoop Dogg to convert Hugh because you like Snoop Dogg, or is it because you just want to? Snoop Dogg actually takes a different view on this. He's not Snoop Dogg that everybody knows. He's Snoop Dogg who's actually prosecuting something that has a great health benefit. And he's changed from being the Snoop Dogg who he normally is to becoming someone who's really responsible about the health industry. How did you play it? How did you work him?
We were there to be able to provide our investors, media and shareholders with an experience.
Right.
And that's what he did at the time.
Right. Okay.
So in terms of providing content around that, in terms of, you know, pushing for the medical application of through a press release, that didn't happen.
You didn't use it for that?
No, absolutely not.
Was he hard to control? I mean, did you have to control his messaging, or
in terms of international celebrities, there's a lot of red tape, and there's a lot of guidelines and regulations and approval of imagery. And was he hard to control? It was manageable, it was controllable, and we achieved great success overnight.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get cut through for sure. What would have been better if you had Bill Clinton doing it, because he's not the obvious person to do it.
Controversial.
You know, like it's, you know, like, or Monica Lewinsky, though, even better.
Yeah. No, but for that event, though, it was really to celebrate shareholders and investors who were there, 1,000 of them. It wasn't to cause controversy or scandal, or, you know, Namaste Technologies is a very reputable company.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to play within, you know, their brand guidelines.
Within the rules, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look, it's a, I mean, I could talk about this forever. I'm a great fan of Pete Evans, and I really like the Namaste proposition. Snoop Dogg, you know, whatever. I think I believe in the whole cannabis and cannabis product story. I think I do. I mean, put it this way, I'm definitely not a disbeliever, and I'm definitely not anti it. I'm not sure if we need it or not, and I don't know it because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not against it. I'm definitely not against it. And I think what you're doing, Sarah, is quite smart, because there's controversy and there is ignorance. There's those two elements which exist, which is a growth, the third thing, which is a PR person's nirvana. It's just nirvana. Like, you're dealing with controversy, so, you know, someone's going to employ you to deal with the controversy, or either side, by the way, of the game. You've got all the arguments and all the learnings around it, so education is really important. So that's another nirvana for a PR person, to be able to build those learning platforms and to teach people. And I think also the potential for growth as an industry. You know, as you say, we'll employ people, you know, gives people. I saw a show on television, I think it was last week, where they were saying, being argued in the United States that people who have been convicted of drug dealing, particularly if it's been cannabis related, should be the first people to get employed in the now legal cannabis industry.
Yes.
So if someone's coming out of jail, because they find it hard to get a job.
Yeah.
So, and let's say they've been put away for that, then give them a job in one of those shops that sort of you see around California where they sell the drugs.
They know the marketplace.
They know the marketplace, and they know the product too. And they've probably tried it, and they're probably sort of semi-experts on it. So, I mean, it's sort of all this makes sense to me. And what you've done is you've driven yourself into a niche. You're only a young lady, but you're doing I mean, I think you're doing a good job, like, in terms of how you've explained it to me. I don't know how your clients feel about you, but I think you've explained to me quite well, and you've got me thinking about the whole industry now. And in fact, it's definitely something that I would invest in.
You would, yeah.
I would definitely invest in it, because I just know there's upside. And I often say this, and I said it yesterday at our intensive seminar, it's all about being involved in industries where there's a rising tide.
Mm-hmm.
And for one thing is absolutely crystal clear to me, that this is a rising tide. This is not a tide that's receding. This is on its way up. How high it's going to go, no one knows, but it's a rising tide.
$64 billion by 2025 globally. That's the estimate of value. At the moment in Australia, it's valued at $100 million. And 2025, we're looking at $1.2 billion.
In terms of, I reckon if you went into the dark web, it's already about $500 billion in Australia. But I just think, I think it's a good industry in terms of commerce, economics. There is a rising tide in there. For someone like you, it's full of all those nice, juicy things that you need to get your hands on to make money and to run a business and to build a business. There's definitely demand for it, and by the sound of it, you're building up your skill base. The skill base is growing with you. You're growing with the industry, so that skill base is going to change very quickly. It's going to be up to you to keep in pace with this. That's not an easy thing, by the way. And I wish you the very, very best of luck. It's been interesting to do one of these at 7 o'clock in the morning talking about hooch, and it's been great fun. I really enjoy it. I wish you the best luck. I want to
Thank you for having me again
in a year's time.
Yes, I would love that.
See where you're at and tell me where the industry's at. I want you to come back in 1 year's time from now, and I want to see whether that tide just kept going up. My gut feel is going to be rising at a much faster rate than any of us expect, and let's hope that you can get this away here in Australia fast for those people who choose to use it.
Thank you so much for your support.
You're welcome.
Here in a year.
You betcha. Thanks, Sarah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.